Well, welcome everybody to the Women's Wednesday Night Bible Study. We have Karen and Megan back with us tonight. Good evening,
Yay!
Ladies.
Hallelujah.
Hi, all.
And we are going to take a look at Psalm 23 tonight. But if either of you have anything you'd like to share or say before we jump in, the floor is yours, or the mic.
Not me.
Not I.
Okay, not yet, right?
Not at this moment.
So then, Karen, if you would read verse 1, please.
Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
So, number one, David is the writer of this psalm, as we all know. And his confession here is true of him. It doesn't mean it's true of others. The Lord is his shepherd. David has submitted himself unto the lordship and the oversight of Jesus. He's entrusted himself fully unto Jesus as his shepherd. And David, we know, knew what it was to be a shepherd. I mean, his testimony to Saul was, when a lion or a bear came to get the sheep, he would actually fight the lion or the bear. He was a boy, really. He wasn't a man at this point, but he understood the job of a shepherd and the care that the responsibility to the sheep that he tended. And he entrusted his safety and all of his needs into the hands of his God. And so when David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," he's making a statement that's true. I shall not want here, David, the Lord has taught him the difference between his wants and his needs. And David walks trusting the Lord for his needs, and he doesn't want. I shall not want. I was going to read in John chapter 10, it says, this is Jesus speaking, a quote of his words, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." And then in verse 14 there it says, "I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine." And you see David knowing Jesus as his shepherd and knowing that he is known and cared for by him. So I open the mic again.
Well, David submitted himself unto the Lord and gave up his life to the Lord. And that can be true of others as well, if they give up their lives for the Lord and they want to walk and yield unto his ways and choose him. Because this psalm is not written for just anybody. It's written for only those that that do choose the Lord. And there are lots of people that want to, and there's a difference there. But those that do choose the Lord and yield unto his ways, they are the ones that he's talking about in this psalm. And it is certainly a wonderful, wonderful psalm. I really love it. But we need to remember that it is not a psalm that is just about anybody, the reader, for example. It's not talking about just whoever is reading this psalm is going to be like this. You have to do your part before the Lord leads you and restores you and all the things that he does in this psalm.
It is an interesting thing that you say that, because without a doubt this is true of the writer, and it is true about he whom he writes about, who is Jesus. But, and he's available for all of us, but it is a choice we make that makes it true for us, even as you said.
Yes, it's true if you're one of his sheep, if you choose to be a sheep.
Yes. Verse 2, Karen?
He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters.
You know, those green pastures are his word. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. What greener pastures are there to partake of? He leads me beside the still waters. Sheep are afraid of rapid or muddy waters. They'll drown, and they need to be able to see the bottom. And the good shepherd leads in safety and in places and to places where his sheep can drink. We also know that water is a reference to the Holy Spirit. He leads me beside still waters. He knows his sheep. He knows what they need. He knows their weakness. He knows their need, and he provides all of it.
It reminds me of in John 10, too, it talks about how, I'm not sure if it's in John 10, but where it says that the sheep know my voice. I'm not sure if it's in...
It's verse 16 of John 10. It says, and other sheep I have,
which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And the sheep know the shepherd's voice. And that's how David is talking about being able to hear the Lord's voice in this psalm.
Megan, before we move into 3.
Megan has dropped off, and I'm in the process of adding her in.
Okay. Alrighty. Well, we'll read 3, but give her an opportunity to comment on 2 when she gets back up.
Okay. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
Megan, did we lose you on 2 where you didn't have an opportunity to speak about it? And if so, did you have anything you'd like to say about it, or shall we move? We were on verse 3 in your absence.
You can move on.
Okay.
I'm sure.
So, Karen, if you would just reread verse 3, that would be great. Okay. We were talking about restoreth, so we can get back on that one.
All right, I'll read 3 again. Thanks. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
Okay. So, Megan, we were looking at that word restoreth because it really means, you know, to bring us back again. And it's what the shepherd does, you know. He keeps his sheep, and that means he has to bring them back to where they're supposed to be. And, Karen, you can go ahead and read some of those definitions. I know Gail had put in the chat. Let me just go back up there. It says... if I can find it without... Oh, a return to restoreth. So...
And another one is bring again, back home again, call to mind, carry again, come again, pull in again. So it sounds like it's bringing us back to that path where we need to be on.
Yeah. You know, Karen and I were talking earlier before the Bible study. You know, that's one of the services that those who are in authority over us provide us, is on our own, we fall away. You know, we move away. Let me put it that way. We move off the path that we should be on. Our understanding gets skewed, and we even do it amongst each other. Part of exhortation is the reminder of the truth, the reestablishment of the truth. And That's what those who are in authority over us in the Lord, that's part of what the Lord, part of their function is to keep us. Because we need to be kept. We need to be brought back. We need to see, oh yeah, that's not quite, I'm kind of going astray in how I'm looking at this. Or how I'm doing, or how I'm seeing. And the Lord is attentive to his sheep. To those,
and we don't see these things ourselves a lot of times.
Yeah.
We'll be just going off on a tangent somewhere, and we won't even realize it. And so it's nice to have someone to come and tell you the truth and bring you back and restore you.
That's part of my sheep will hear my voice. They hear his voice. His voice sometimes is an apostle. His voice sometimes is a prophet. His voice sometimes is a sister or brother that ministers the truth.
And we need to take heed to that voice and hear that voice, and we'll know who that voice is the voice of, but also taking heed, which is doing that which we're told.
Yeah.
You know, I was talking with an old school friend this evening, and I don't know how many of you remember, Francisco had a picture, a description of how if you get in a boat at Boston Harbor and you're heading towards England, if you go off 1 degree, you won't notice that necessarily at the beginning, but you'll land up in Africa, not in Europe. And this girl I was talking with this evening was asking me about a mutual friend of ours from school, and she asked me how she's doing. And I said, well, depends on what you mean, in what sense. In the Lord kind of thing, I think she was doing better back when we were in matric, 20 years ago, than she is doing today. I don't know, but we make little decisions that change our course from being a sheep to being a sheep with a little bit of a goat, a little bit of a butt, a little bit of I don't like this part of the word, so I want to change it, or I don't want to agree with that. Just little things that land up, you know, taking us right off course. We can come back if we choose to, but, you know, it's important to, as you said, that's what elders and leadership is for, authority, if you will, and also just fellowship, you know, sticking around and hanging around people who you know speak the truth.
You know, I kind of know a little bit of the history of some of your friends, and I don't speak this in the sense of they are not or will not choose Christ. But the thing is thus far, they have not heard his voice when it came to show them something, to speak to them and show them the right way. They've chosen to hold on to what they think and what they have known and the way that they like. You know what I'm saying?
It has, at least for these two particular women, it has been brought to them. But they have not yet, it seems to me, to have received it, to have heard it and received it.
Yeah, and I'm not saying they won't, but
no,
it does shine a light. At this point, they don't know his voice, because part of knowing his voice, my sheep know my voice, they hear him. And that goes back to what you were saying, Karen. You know, part of hearing is then taking it exactly how it's spoken to you and changing yourself to be in line with it.
Even if it's not comfortable.
Yeah. So he restoreth my soul. but it goes back to the Lord is my shepherd. That's a choice we make. It's a choice of trust. But that trust really is shown by our response to him. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God's sheep glorify God. They testify to the love of God through the gospel, through the simple acceptance of the sufficiency of the blood of the Lamb, because there's no other way. And to be able to stand and minister, not that you or I are great, but that God is, and his way of salvation is perfect, and it's complete. We can add nothing to it, and we can take nothing from it. He did it all, and we can receive it all, because we need it all. And in by so doing, he is glorified. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. If I will follow him, he will be with me. He will make manifest that he is with me. And those who want the same can have it, because it's a free gift.
And Robin, that's the thing too, that we have to receive that. We can't just say that we want something and then not receive it, because we still don't have it.
Yeah. Amen. He, you know, when it, for his name's sake, you know, what does it say? If he be lifted up, he will draw all men unto him.
Yes.
It's important.
You know, one other thing is, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He's going to get the glory, therefore he's going to lead me in the way that I need to go, because he's going to get the glory for it.
Isn't that the perfect, when it says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel? I mean, and then we know that the gospel is preached really first in our actions, and second, and when necessary, with our mouth. And here you have, in a verse, a description of that.
Yeah.
Verse 4, Karen.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
So, as many of us, if not all of us, know, the valley of the shadow of death is, you know, this life. This life is just a shadow of death if we are in Christ. And being in Christ with a shepherd who is well able to keep us, there's nothing to fear. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I want to go back for a second, because I got a message in the chat that said, verse 3 says, his namesake. That's interesting, because one may think it would say, for my soul's sake. You know, it's interesting, because where our soul pledges its allegiance is our choice. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Thanks be to God. So with my flesh, I'm going to serve the law of sin. But with my mind, I'm going to serve the law of God. That's our choice. And then if we're going to serve the law of God, you see, he then, as our shepherd, is going to be with us and keep us and lead us in right paths and take care of our every need, supply everything we need with which to continue and to, you know, to live this life, to walk it out, to end up where we dwell in his house forever, which we're going to get down to in the last verse. And as we let him do this, he is glorified. And if we will let him do this, we know he gets all the honor and glory. Because it comes with a choice of ours that is born out of the knowledge of our need. We need him. We needed his sacrifice. We need his shepherding us. We need it all. And we become dependent upon him by faith, even as David is giving expression to, of his own dependency and trust in Christ. So must we become, and it starts with choice, dependent and choose to trust Christ. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He has the tools that are needful to keep the enemy at bay. And how does he keep the enemy at bay? He keeps us in a safe place. How do we stay in that safe place? By knowing the truth and staying in it. The men have been going through the book of Acts, and it's interesting to see that nothing can harm Paul because God is with him. Now, we know that in the end, Paul was killed, but it was when he had finished his work, when it was time for him. His testimony was, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith, I am now ready to be offered, and henceforth is laid up for me a crown. And he had to move and walk knowing that truth. And in the midst of him moving and walking and knowing that truth, the Lord restored him. He brought him again. He kept him. David is an example. Paul is an example. All of the believers that we see in the Word and see in our lives, you see this truth of. I know, Karen, you were talking about the rod in the sense of chastening and the peaceable fruit of righteousness that it will yield if you'll endure and submit to it and receive it.
Yeah. And that's in Hebrews 12. It talks about in verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? So if we're his, he's going to chasten us. And if we're not his, he's not going to chasten us because we're not his, and he doesn't chasten those that are not his. So that is a wonderful thing. To have chastening, even though it's not pleasant at the time, it yields that peaceable fruit of righteousness.
Megan, did you have anything to add to 4 before we move to 5?
I don't think so. Well, maybe one thing. The staff is the shepherd's kind of crook-looking thing, right?
I think so, yes.
Which, if you look at the shape of it, fits just neatly around a sheep's neck to be able to pull it in line or to pull it back or to lift it up from a cliff that it's tripped itself over or, you know, what have you. And, you know, it kind of goes back to him leading us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It's a place for us to be able to rest knowing that he's there and he's looking out for us. If we're his, then he's looking out for us.
You know, I'm going to read something that reminds me of. It is, I think, the last or next to last verse in Jude. It says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. You know, and for him to be able to present us faultless, we have to submit to that which is needful for him to be able to accomplish that. And he is able to keep us from falling. And he is able to present us faultless. But he can't if we don't let him. And what you're describing with a sheep is he lets him.
Depends. Yeah, that's a cool analogy. No, it's a cool picture in my mind, because there we are going off the path and the Lord gently bringing us back in with love.
Amen. So verse 5 there, Karen.
Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over.
We've kind of, in a way, hit upon this, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Because if God is with us, and if we walk a walk that allows him to manifest that, and he will, if he is with us, it will be manifest. That is that table that he prepares before our enemies for them to see, for them to be aware that we partake. Thou anointest my head with oil. I looked up that word anointest, and it was interesting because in my paper concordance, it's the only time the word anointest is in the Old Testament. It's the only time the word anoint or anointed or something like that has this particular definition. And it is, I'll just read it to you. It says, to be fat. You know, and this isn't a physical fatness, but it is in the other places in the Old Testament that this word is used. It is either except or fat. And it says transitively to fatten, specifically to anoint, figuratively to satisfy, to remove ashes of sacrifices, accept, anoint, take away the ashes from, make wax fat. And one of these scriptures, I'll just read one of them. There were like, I don't know, maybe 10 in all, was Proverbs 28:25, and it says, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat, full, satisfied. The sacrifice that Jesus made and all of its sufficiency will be manifest. And you know, there's a sense of prosperity in the spirit, in our soul here. Nothing lacking. Was that part of the Hebrews verse you read, Karen? But, you know, they'll lack nothing, nothing wanting. My cup runneth over.
That kind of goes together with anointest, because of the meaning of anointest, doesn't it?
Yeah. There's also plenty for others when a cup runs over. We don't have to hoard the good things of God. Megan?
That's reminds me of the sort of River Jordan and the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea sort of analogy. When my cup runneth over, it's because the Lord knows that he can bless me, because I, in turn, will bless others.
Yeah.
And that is a good thing. That is a thing for us to be mindful of, you know, that we're stewards of things. I'm sure there are some things I have not been asked to give up that I might struggle with giving up, or parting with, or what have you, but when people have given me things, I kind of look at it as I'm looking after things for them, or in case they need it again, or something like that. Obviously not perfectly. But when your cup runneth over, it is a place of abundance for the Lord to continue to reach others, you know, kind of like a ripple that can go out more.
It's kind of like the picture of the Dead Sea
yes.
That has no outlet and it's dead. And I know something Davy has oftentimes will say is, pour it in, Lord, that I may pour it out. It's not to be consumed. It's to be partaker of, but it's not to be consumed and kept for oneself. And, you know, if you think about Paul or David or Abraham or whoever you want to think about, their service to the Lord was to serve his people, to serve him, and all that was given unto them, to others. Moses. Once again, this is true of the speaker or the writer here, and can be true of any. Karen, if you'll read the last verse there.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Isn't it interesting that David, whenever he wrote this psalm, and I don't know when in his life he did, certainly one of the earlier psalms in the book of Psalms, but his dependence upon the mercy of God gives testimony to the fact that God was his Savior, and not his actions, in the sense of works righteousness. That God's goodness and God's mercy would follow him all the days of his life, and because of that, he could give the testimony that he would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He availed himself of, he needed it, he was dependent upon God.
It even mentions in Isaiah about the sure mercies of David.
Yeah. I thought also, in thinking about this psalm, that verse 1 and verse 6 were kind of like bookends. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The beginning and the end, and all of the provision given voice to in between. David trusted God. When I say trusted him, I mean he submitted himself to the Lord at every turn. When he had a need that he knew of, when he was found to be going in the wrong way, he repented. When he found that he had done evil, he called upon God's mercy and he waited to hear God's answer, which was merciful. And he received it and went forward again because of that in Christ. Of course, he was looking towards the sacrifice that would be made on his behalf. We know it's been made. He trusted it would be. And he knew because of God's goodness and mercy, and that he was a good shepherd, that he could trust him. So I open the mic to you guys.
Kind of reminds me of when David's son died. And before the child had died, he prayed to the Lord and was in sackcloth. And then when the child died, he just picked up and, okay, the decision's been made. Until the child died, he prayed unto the Lord for his child to be saved. But when his child wasn't, he just went on. He knew that that was something that was told him that was going to happen. And it just reminded me of that story. One of the ways that David trusted the Lord and did as he was told and went ahead and ahead with what the Lord would have him do and didn't look back.
And in case people don't know, Karen's talking about the son that was born by Bathsheba from his adultery with her. And while the child lived, he prayed that the Lord would repent of saying that he would die. But once the child died, he accepted that and got up. And, of course, his servants were astonished. They were afraid to tell him because of the fact that he, what he was doing while the child still lived. And his response was that, you know, while the child lived, there was hope for that child's life.
And that story is in 2 Samuel 12. In case anybody wants to read that, it's and it talks about Nathan coming to him and telling him that the child is going to die. And 2 Samuel 11 was where he lay with Bathsheba, and then 12 was where the child dies.
So before I forget, next week we're going to cancel Wednesday Bible study. For those who are unable to come to the convention, I know they're going to seek to have it broadcast live, the meetings, but they'll certainly be up on the website. So we can all partake, be we there or not. So may the Lord bless you all. And he says he gives you both the will and the way to do of his good pleasure. So may you ask him for that, that he may be your good shepherd too.
And then receive that.
Amen. So good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.